Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1. With Opel and the all-new Opel Astra. German engineering at its core. It's our most efficient Astra yet.
Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
The last time I spoke to Dr. Maura Finn, we discussed eating disorders and we were inundated with texts and emails from you with so many questions that we couldn't possibly get through them all. So I'm joined again on the line by Dr. Finn now to answer your questions on this very difficult issue. Good morning to you, Maura.
Good morning, Claire.
Let's get straight to our first question because, as I say, we had so many of them. And Anne was in touch to say her daughter had an eating disorder over the first lockdown and over the summer and her intake was between 500 and 600 calories. Now, the good news is that she is on the road to recovery. She's not losing any weight, but she's slow to gain and her lovely long hair is falling out in large amounts. Is there any advice that you have for that?
Okay, I mean, what you're seeing there is the actual physical consequences of the eating disorder, other than just the weight loss and the kind of the low BMI. And there are so many physical consequences. And the longer somebody has an established eating disorder, the greater they are. And hair loss is a very obvious and external sign. And you just have to imagine what other internal damage can be done. From, you know, the very obvious fatigue and fainting and feeling cold, but also the nutritional imbalances that'll happen. And people with prolonged eating disorders and weight loss will often have very weak bones, will have difficulty with their bowels. The bowels will stop functioning properly. So it's so good that Anne's daughter is kind of making a recovery, but it may have been a process that was going on much longer than she realised if she had that sort of physical consequence. And it's really important that her recovery is maintained.
Okay. So what would you recommend to address those deficiencies in her body?
Well, it's really important when somebody presents, first off, that we do a full range of blood tests and investigations to see, first of all, that we make sure that there isn't another underlying cause for the eating issues, but also to see, is there established nutritional deficits? Once we know that there, you know, there isn't, we would usually recommend multivitamins or some sort of targeted vitamin support for people who, while they're learning to refeed, while they're learning to kind of treat their body, the eating disorder itself. And that would include making sure that they have the right amount of calcium, vitamin D, zinc, magnesium, make sure the potassium levels aren't going up or down. So there's some very specifically targeted recommendations, but multivitamins in general are a good idea. Okay. Because if somebody's reducing their calorie intake, they're almost certainly reducing their nutritional intake.
Now, one of our listeners says that their 15-year-old suffers from anorexia and it's been 2 years now. Some of her weight has restored. So this person is in treatment and he feels that they're now entering the toughest stage that they have to go through. This stage is called the separation stage. He wants some advice on how to tackle that. But I suppose for the rest of us, Maura, could you explain what that is, the separation stage?
Okay. I would imagine that these people are talking about what's called family-based therapy. And it is considered the gold standard therapy for adolescents and children with eating disorders. And it basically separates the eating disorder from the psychological aspects of the disease. Now, that sounds a little strange because we keep talking about the fact that it's a coping mechanism and there's such an underlying psychological issue to it. But in this therapy, the parents are basically seen as an asset and as a powerful tool to help nurture the child and bring the child through the process of recovery. And in the first phase, the parents really take control of the eating. That's done through a kind of a sequence of sessions where a therapist will talk it through with the child and the parents. And it's explained very explicitly how the eating disorder and the lack of food and nutrition affects your cognition, your way of thinking and your behaviour. And that really, from a physical and mental point of view, to get you back eating is the first step. Then the next process is probably what this person is talking about, is when the adolescent or child takes more control over the eating themselves and they have their independence is restored. And it's at that stage then the psychological background is explored in more detail. So it sounds a little bit contradictory in some ways, but it has been proven to work very well. And it has been proven as well that lack of nutrition causes cognitive deficits. So the child can't think properly, can't think constructively about the how to deal with their ongoing issues until their nutritional balance is restored.
So then at this stage, are the parents asked to step back a little bit and the treatment becomes more focused on the individual?
Well, the whole thing about family-based therapy is always about the entire family. But at this stage, the parents are losing a little bit of the control that had been established. But at that stage, you're hoping that that very important parental-child relationship has been restored. Because in an eating disorder, whatever happened to bring on these feelings may be a long and ongoing process. But by the time the eating disorder is established, the parental and child relationship is often quite destroyed because the parents are frantic trying to encourage the child to eat and it loses its perspective a little bit. Okay. So you're trying to re-establish that whole relationship.
So from that dad's point of view, it's important to follow this through and allow the separation phase to happen if that's what you're being advised by your clinician.
Yes, because you won't be allowed, that phase won't happen until they feel that there's an established weight gain and the adolescent has understood the process. Now, this doesn't work for everybody, but it is the process that is best, we have the best outcomes for adolescents with. So it's difficult and it's an ongoing process. It takes a lot of time and a lot of trust and it's all about establishing a really good relationship for future relationship issues between parents and children as well.
We've had a message now from an older woman who has an eating disorder and she's a real worrying concern about developing osteoporosis. Is she at added risk?
Absolutely, she is. And, you know, we were talking earlier about the young girl and the physical consequences, and that's over a short period of time. Somebody who's an older person may well have an established eating disorder for a long, long period of time. And in that case, they have had consistent poor nutrition, which will mean that, you know, your bone calcium and vitamin D is laid down in your teenage years. So even the people with the best diets have a risk of osteoporosis. But if you have been restricting your calcium and vitamin D intake for a number of years, you almost certainly have osteopenia, which is weak bones, or osteoporosis, where they are very fragile and prone to breaking. I have a patient who, she's quite happy for me to discuss her actually, but she's a 75-year-old lady who has had an eating disorder since her early 20s and has significant, long, ongoing, severe physical issues as a result. She has a colostomy bag because her bowels stopped functioning. She has osteoporosis. She's had multiple breaks as a result. And more importantly, she says that the eating disorder has ruined her life.
Okay. And is it being addressed? Is she willing to address it? I don't know if you can go that far, but I mean, it would seem that an awful lot of damage has been done at this stage.
Oh, it has. Now, she has addressed it and addressed it at a young age, but she would say some of the treatment she received at a young age, you know, it wasn't as well developed as it is
yes.
now. And it may have actually been
counterproductive.
Counterproductive, exactly. She's done incredibly well in that she's managed to have children, because a lot of people who have severe anorexia in particular, they're fertility is severely affected. So over the years, she's managed to kind of maintain a reasonable quality of life from an external point of view. But she herself says that it will never go. She is still obsessed with her intake of food. If I ever tell her she looks well, she says, oh, don't say that. That makes me feel like I've gained weight.
Gosh, it's so complex,
it's
isn't
tragic.
It?
Yeah, it really is.
So for the person who's worried about osteoporosis, I suppose a DEXA scan, requesting that would be the first step, would it?
Absolutely, yeah. Request a DEXA scan. There may be a delay in that. Very importantly, try and improve your calcium and vitamin D intake even while you're waiting. And if you've established osteoporosis, then there are targeted treatments we would use for that.
Now, my 12-year-old daughter says another listener is going to her first appointment for what I suspect, as this parent, is anorexia. She's lost almost 4 stone. 4 stone in 6 months. She's 5'4" tall and weighs about 6 stone. She's incredibly thin, but I'm worried that she might be dismissed. Have you any advice?
Well, first of all, she's not going to be dismissed. I mean, with those kind of figures, I mean, that would suggest her BMI is less than 15. You know, that's significantly low. She won't be dismissed. She obviously has a serious issue and it needs to be addressed. But she may fall foul to the poor funding that really we all worry about in this area. The mental health funding in general is you know, leaves a lot to be desired. Some parts of the country are better than others. People who can access private care are at an advantage, but that's not how our country should work. But she hopefully is going to see either a GP first line or more targeted care, secondary care. Either way, most of the care can be done as an outpatient. So we're not, she's not at the kind of the mercy of a bed, because really there's only 5 inpatient beds for serious people with serious anorexia nervosa. So that's way too little for the country. But it's really important that the mother and the father work as this child's advocate. If they are concerned that they're not getting the care they feel they need, they keep pushing and keep going back and keep pushing. And we as GPs very frequently are in the process of writing and ringing and begging. But, you know, if we have to do that, we have to do that, because this child needs to be treated. The sooner the treatment is started, the sooner she'll recover, and the better her outcomes will be.
Okay, Dr. Maura Finn, thank you very much indeed for all of that great advice.
Welcome.
And we were saying there, we were talking about Bodywise, the organisation which gives people advice on eating disorders. And if you need to get in touch with them, their helpline is 01 210 7906, or you can log on to bodywise.ie. Now, the spelling of that is important because it's B-O-D-Y and then W-H-Y-S, so bodywise.ie, or you can send an email for support to alex@bodywise.ie.